from the second paragraph of section 2. Alone and for means nothing lacking beyond two or three is called mediate forms. Mediate forms are moonlight, not merely forms. Accordingly, its light swallows mediate forms. Mediate forms completely swallow moonlight. Here, moonlight swallowing moonlight is called its light swallows mediate forms. That is to say, the moon swallows the moon. The moonlight swallows the moon. Therefore, it is said moonlight doesn't illuminate objects. Objects do not exist. beyond two or three, along and four means nothing lacking. I experience along and four. I think it is alone means absolute aloneness, I mentioned yesterday. So absolute itself is aloneness. So I think if you have another translation, maybe you could say absolute fullness, absolute fullness, absolute perfection, not the secular perfections, opposed to imperfections. So absolute perfection, absolute fullness. That is alone and full. That time you are completely alone, absolutely alone, and simultaneously you are absorbed, you are encompassed by all sentient beings. You are supported by all sentient beings. So one is two. Two are one. This is called perfect aloneness, absolute aloneness. If you really test it, and that point settled down in your heart, it is called faith. It's very faith. But usually aloneness is understood in terms of in common sense. That time aloneness is really makes you pensive and sad, etc. Because you are separate from others. But in terms of absolute aloneness, you are alone, but it's not alone. You are really supported by all sentient beings. So one is two, two are one. Exactly. Interconnected. We don't know how, but it's really true. It is reality of our life. So that is called, here says, alone and full. Okay? Means nothing lacking. That's why nothing lacking. If you feel alone in terms of your desire, in terms of your desire, there is something lacking. So you don't satisfy this aloneness. But true real aloneness is nothing lacking. Perfect. Exactly perfect. Fullness. Fullness is completely everywhere, is round, round, and turning over and over. In other words, aloneness makes your life really mature and turn over and over again. In other words, that aloneness, perfect aloneness, makes you really alive, fully alive. That is called faith. We say faith. So, the world is exactly absolute fullness, which means nothing lacking. So from this point, if you see the moon is not the moon you have seen. So if you see the moon in the common sense, I think there are many moons which are separable. So half moons and full moons and new moon, dawn moons, evening moons, etc. They are separate. But the moon, in true sense, the moon is not moon you have believed. So that's why he says the beyond two or three, this is a moon. Beyond moon, what you see is beyond two or three, half moon and crescent moons and the full moon, beyond this ideas. So what is it? That moon is the moon which is completely aligned, absolutely aligned, and supported by all sentient beings. This is a moon. Okay. At that time, moon can shine over the all sentient beings. Beyond your speculations. So, moonlight is, in this case, the Buddhist virtue, Buddhist merit. Because moon, working in that way, before, regardless of whether you see or not, anyway, moon itself, the moon itself, working always like that. That's why you can see the moonlight. Moonlight is what? Buddha's virtue. He says, okay? So beyond two or three is called the myriad form. So myriad form means three forms of trees, birds, and rivers, and pebbles, and the airs, and the skies, stars. Myriad forms, separate individual form in this world, myriad forms. But they are not separate, they are exactly one form, because the myriad, the form of the tree you can see is not the trees you can believe, because it is total function of its own existence, interconnected, interpenetrated, all sentient beings. This is a form of mountains. So if you see the moon, simultaneously you have to see the mountains, rivers, and it's because moon includes all sentient beings. That's why he says beyond moon, beyond two or three is called myriad forms. Okay? So without myriad forms, without the trees, birds, other sentient beings, you cannot see the moon as it really is. And next, myriad forms are moonlight. So that's why each individual forms, tree, birds, disc, your hairs, your bodies, your scanners, the eyes, consciousness, whatever, they are exactly same as moon. Because each single pore of your pore, it's not separate from all sentient beings. If each single pore is completely being separate from all other beings, it doesn't work. It's dead. As long as it works every day beyond your consciousness or unconsciousness, I think it is working with all sentient beings. So, that's why he says myriad forms are moonlight, okay? That's why myriad form, your pore, is that good? Pore. P-O-R-E, okay, pore. So your pore is a moon, exactly the moon. Your pore is a star. It's not abstract. It's not abstract sense. It is exactly true. If you have eyes completely open to see this one, your pore, it's really connected closely, very closely, intimately, beyond the time and space. So your pore is whole world. So Bergen Benjamin, the whole world is, whole world is very constant intimate with time, ages, and place, and beings, all sentient beings. That is called whole world. So very close, very intimate, constant intimate. Okay? This is whole world. Your pore is moons. Okay? That's why it says myriad forms are moonlight, not merely forms. Very naturally, your pore is not merely form. You have believed. Accordingly, its light swallows myriad forms. So in terms of light, light means Buddha's virtue, Buddha's merit, okay? Buddha's merit means, do you understand? Buddha's merit means interpenetration, interdependent, okay? Interdependent coordination. In other words, everything is interfused, inseparably. Into cohesive whole, one. That is a universe. What makes it possible to do this? That is called the akasha, temporarily we say. Akasha, or vast open space, sky, we say. Or sometimes we say Buddha nature. Sometimes we say just isness. Okay. Many terms appear. But that means exactly something which makes all sentient beings possible to be interfused into a cohesive whole. If I say so, I think that the vast open space seems to be a theory of monad by Leibniz. Do you know the theory of monad by Leibniz? Monad. Do you know? Monad. Monad. Anyway, it is a theory created by Leibniz. Simply speaking, he emphasizes watchmakers. Watchmakers make two watches and controlling two watches, and the exact day really works exactly same rhythm. Who make it possible to, for two watches to work rhythmically in the same pace? Who? The Cisco watchmaker. That is a monarch. Monarch. Is that clear? Never mind. So, Akasha Buddha, Buddha's Akasha, the vast open sky, is not the kind of a theory of monad. Okay? It looks like watchmakers. Always somebody, so something exists over your head and control something. It's not. Because that is the vast open space, skies is the place. But the vast open space, skies itself, the manifest, anyway, manifest, what would you say? Its own virtue, no, the manifest, the total interdependence, total interpenetrations as Buddha's its own virtue. Okay? So virtue, it's virtue and also place, so-called vast open sky, is the same, not different. Okay? But if you say space is here and then this is separate from its own functions, that at that time space becomes a monad, kind of a monad. Okay? Who are controller? Okay? But I don't think controller, because without the space place, you cannot see its own virtue. The virtue and function and space place is same. Okay? You can separate it. Well, that's why I mentioned so already before the last yesterday and the day before yesterday, according to the Shakyamuni Buddha's statement. Okay? Alright, accordingly, its light swallows myriad forms. So, in terms of the lights, the moonlights, they regard it as a function of the moon as it truly is, beyond one or two or three moons. At that time, moon becomes light. Moon shines. At that time, it is nothing but moonlight. Closely related with all sentient beings. So finally, light swallows all sentient beings. And then the Dogen Zenji comment on this, myriad forms completely swallows the moonlight. So from this point, also, you can say that its light swallows myriad forms means myriad forms completely swallow moonlights. Well, let's imagine there are two persons stand back to back, okay, with each other, okay, like this, okay, and then don't move your back. Just move your foot. Move your foot forward, little by little. Okay? You understand? Like this. Finally, you stand up back to back, keep standing back to back with each other, and then don't move your bodies. Just foot goes farther, farther, little by little. And then like this. Right? So finally, you can see symmetric energy in actions between the two. Do you understand? No, you never fall. Exactly. Stop. A certain time you have to stop anyway, because you have to keep balance. If you fall, you die. you never exist in this world. So you have to keep the balance, okay? At that time, if you keep standing like this, you can see only, you can see only symmetric energy in action between two. You never attach to either one of them. Okay? So always there is function. Okay? There is energy and function. Is that okay? Then let's see that this world in terms of the a person. Okay. And then it's not necessary to talk about B person because they are standing exactly in balance. So all you have to do is to take care of A person. That's it. And that time, if you take care of A person, B person is taken care of naturally. Is that clear? That is called when one is manifested, the other side is in darkness. If you see your life, at that time your life is whole universe. So just take care of yourself doesn't mean the individualism, individualistic, egoistic sense, no. If you take care of your life, it means whole world is taken care. Right? You take care of yourself in this kind of practice. Everyone's is taken care of. If you see something interlapped between, I think your life is not perfect balance. So, is that clear? So that's why the Dogen Zenji mentions when the one appears, the other one is in darkness. So darkness doesn't mean disappear. The other person becomes the content of a person. Okay? So very naturally, behind a person, there is a great help there. So all you have to do is to take care of a person. That's it. So that's why here, if you read this, myriad forms completely swallow the moonlight. Okay? Swallows moonlight. A person swallows a bee. Anyway, B person swallows A, exactly. Is that okay? It's not necessary to talk about B. When you see that A person, you have to take care of A. Is that clear? So I think in this kind of practice, very often people misunderstand to take care of individual practice. Because always they are looking at others in terms of individual, in the usual sense. So that's where your attitude becomes very critical toward others. Now if you see somebody who make a mistake, you become critical and also hurt others. Why do you come here to practice? It doesn't make sense for me. That's why we have to talk about this one again and again, where even though you fed up with listening to this kind of teaching.
Is the point then that even if you don't look at B, A and B are connected, their heads are connected?
Huh?
I mean, to me, it seems like the point is that the two people are connected.
Yes.
Even though you don't see the back. That seems like that's the difference between this model and the model of the watchers. The watches are in rhythm, but they're separate.
Mm-hmm.
And these two are connected.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We don't know. We feel it, but we don't see it.
Yes. Because we have been tamed by human bodies fabricated by human beings for many, many years in so-called I and you separately. Okay? That's why it's very difficult to see this total balance between all this functioning, interfusing each other, making the cohesive whole big as a whole. It's very difficult to see. That's why we have to practice like this. And that's why we need this kind of circumstances. And then you have to put yourself right here. But when you put your body in this kind of circumstances, you're scared because you can see lots of ugliness, you know. In a busy world, you cannot see because you are being cheated by the noisiness in the city. Because lots of excitement and choices, and you can go any place. You can easily forget, you know. But if you come here very quiet, just you can see, you have to face exactly directly your stinkiness anyway. So that's pretty hard. So finally, you become more critical. If you are critical consciously or unconsciously, you become boss. You know, do you understand? You become boss. For instance, even though you do this because you did something wrong, yet you use the same word others use, but be careful. Okay? The same words doesn't manifest in the same way, individually. The same word appears completely in a different way. It depends on your personality. It depends on your behavior. That's why words, Dzogchen Zenji or Buddha's mentions about the loving words, kind words. This is very important, all right? But if you practice all this year and you naturally become boss, or let's say, pretty bossy, you become bossy. Even though you don't have a position of boss, but the people like a bossy, you know, in many ways. In the kitchen, you know, washing the dishes, you become bossy, you know. Don't you see? If somebody at the washing the dishes very slowly, hey, don't wash slowly. That's it. You become bossy. So you have to be very careful to use your word. You don't pay attention to the word, but the word coming from. Word is not explanation. Not teaching. What is a total demonstration of your whole life. That's why Dzogchen Masons, one sentence to sentence, displays your whole life. See? Particularly when you come here, you really pay much more attention to your words, your behaviors. The way taking care of you, and with compassion. So if you take care of you, very naturally others must be taken care of. Otherwise, it is not practice for you. Okay? So here, that's why Dzogchen Zenji mentions, it's light swallows meteor forms completely swallow moonlight. Here, moonlight swallows moonlight. So, what is that? A person, B person, standing in balance perfectly. What is this? What are they? They are not A person, they are not B person, because if you say he is A, at that time, separately, you attach to concept, so called A. Immediately, B person falls. Because you take it away. By concept. But A person, B person is complete beyond the concept, A or B. It's A or B, exactly moonlight. Buddhist virtue. Because Buddhist virtue is, the Buddhist virtue is total function of interdependent co-origination. This is called Buddhist virtue or light. So very naturally, A is what? B is what? Just the moonlight. Moonlight. Just a light. Buddhist virtue. If so, A is what? Moonlight. Moonlight swallows moonlight. So here, moonlight swelling, moonlight is cold, it's light swelling mediate forms. If you see a person in terms of its light, moonlight, that time naturally it swallows, mediate forms. Okay? If you see yourself in terms of the function, moonlight, a Buddhist virtue, other beings are completely taken care. Okay? Your life swallows all other beings. This is real attitude, true attitude toward human life. Otherwise, you never build up peaceful world. Whatever kind of activity you try, socially, politically, spiritually, if you don't understand this one, you never build up in a peaceful world. Okay? That is to say, the moon swallows the moon. So from this point, this is called true moon. Okay? The true moon. The true moon is beyond concept of the moon you have believed. It is nothing but light. Total function. With the interfusing with all other beings. And creating cohesive whole world. So, naturally, the moon swallows the moon. Exactly. A person swallows a person. Because there is no space to bring up a person's egoistic sense. So, very naturally, a person drops off. Just like a zazen. If you do it, exactly do it in zazen, he drops off. This is a shikantaru. Okay? So that is called, Dogen then says, that is to say the moon swallows the moon. The moonlight swallows the moon. Anyway, so the moonlights, the function of the moonlight, moon, anyway, swallows the moon. Because light, its function, and the moon are not separated. Okay? Buddha's virtue is simultaneously the four individual form. Karage is simultaneously Buddha's virtue. If so, I cannot separate. So all I have to do, how do I know Buddha's virtue? I have to take care of Karagi's form. Totally. That time, Karagi's forms swallows. Karagi's lights, Buddha's virtue. The Buddha's virtue swallows form. So very naturally. That's very naturally. Therefore, it is said moonlight doesn't illuminate object, and object do not exist. Very naturally, there is no object. No object. If you stand up like this, I have mentioned, I think there is no object. So all you have to do is to take care of a person. At that time, the person is swallowed into a person, naturally. So, to exist, your presence is what? Your presence has no object. In other words, your presence is very valuable because no reason. No reason means no object. No object. No subject. So all you have to do is just be present under all circumstances. And that time your presence must interfuse into all the rest of the beings. Okay? For instance, I always mention to the student, if you have a problem with your parents, and when you go back to your home at the Christmas time, Thanksgiving, and how can you negotiate with your parents? The more you try to negotiate in peace, you know, the more you create problems. And the more you try to explain the Buddha's teaching, how wonderful it is, the more you create problems. You know? So your parents believe Buddhism is weird. So finally what you have to do is keep your mouth shut. Fortunately or unfortunately, you just be present there with mothers and fathers, whatever they say. Under all atmospheres, you just be present there. Then when you see the certain situations so-called getting up in the morning, you have to exchange greeting, good morning, with much more compassion than before, because you can see your presence, how valuable your presence is, because your presence includes, swallows all sentient beings. So, parents is what? Parents are not parents opposed to you. Parents are contents of your life. So very naturally, you can exchange a greeting, good morning, with compassion, much more compassion than before. And then, naturally, parents are swallowed by your presence. Naturally, parents becomes be curious of what you are doing. So, finally, they are interested in visiting the Zen Center. What the value is, what the people with the people who practice the same thing as you. Okay? So they visit. That is great teaching, you know. You understand? So therefore it is said moonlight doesn't illuminate object and object do not exist. This is our practice, alright? Since this is so, at the moment of awakening others with the body, Buddha body comes forth and expounds Dharma. At the moment of awakening others with a boundless body, the boundless body manifests and expounds the Dharma. This is one of the statements. What you call in chapter 25 Avalokiteshvara. Avalokiteshvara appears as a boy when she encounter him and expound the Dharma. When Avalokiteshvara sees the sick man, she appears as a sick man and expounds the Dharma, always like this. So that's why Dogen Zenji quotes that statement. At the moment of awakening others with a body, with a Buddha body, okay, that means at the moment of awakening others means when you have no object, at that time you can awaken others. I mentioned already, you are just present with the parents. Without expounding the Dharma, Buddha's teaching, and then that is really expounding Buddha's teaching. So very naturally, you become Avalokiteshvaras, wherever you may be. So that's why he says, at the moment of awakening others with the Buddha bodies, Buddha body comes forth. Naturally, Buddha's body comes forth and expounds the Dharma. This is the teaching, explaining the Dharma, demonstrating the Dharma with the body, with the mind, with the words. Words means good morning, just exchanging the morning, the greeting. This is really expounding the Dharma. Okay? At the moment of awakening others with a boundless body, and that term boundless body means light. Your body is light. Your body is light means the flame of your five skandhas is dissipated, melted away, fused into rest of the beings. At that time, your body, five skanda, becomes boundless body. That is gunas, virtue. Just like a rock climber, I always mention. Rock climber, musician, you really just play the piano. At that time, your whole body, five skandhas, flame of five skandhas, completely interfused into the piano and composers and rhythm of tone. Then, no self-consciousness, no sense of self-consciousness. Exactly, your body and mind are melted away into the pianos and composers, the audience, etc. That is called expand. You can demonstrate boundless body and expand the Dhamma. Okay? This is nothing but turning the Dhamma wheel, turning the Dhamma wheel within the moon. This is, anyway, within the moon, within the total function of the universe, not the playing piano with the within the small scale of the world, so-called Karagiri. I can talk the Buddha's teaching like now right here, but I cannot talk Buddha's teaching within small territory, so-called Karagiri, because if I do it, I always am disappointed. But all I have to do is, I have to talk of Buddha's teaching within, anyway, the total function of the whole universe. That is the moon. That's why within the moon, you have to play the piano. Okay? Within the moon, you have to talk. Within the moon, you have to play the football game. That time, football game speaks to you and about what human life is. So, this is nothing but turning, this is called turning the wheel, Dhamma wheel, okay? Wheel. Constantly. The normal weather, the moon is of fire jewel and water jewel. Fire jewel and water jewel. Fire jewel. Have you ever seen the picture of, by the Sumi painting? Can you see the kind of round ball in a circle? There is a kind of a flame of a fire on the ball. Something like this, you know. Have you ever seen? That is a fire jewel, we call it. Fire jewel, okay? Because this is the original nature of your life. Okay? Original nature of life is exactly jewel. Very bright power, very important, and also it is not dead, even though you cannot see it. It is always with you, and it's working, just like a fire. So wherever you may go, that life is constantly burning. Okay? This is called fire jewels, as a symbol of the function of the original nature of life. And water jewel means, water jewel means, have you ever seen the jewel on the top of pagoda? Five stories pagoda, nine stories pagoda in Japan. In the top of the roof, there are spire. In the top of the spire, there is something round. That is called CN, water smoke. Water smoke, we say. It's called water smoke. But in this case, water smoke means water gel. Okay? Water gel. But a water gel. So that gel on the pagoda, I think, teaches us how valuable the original nature of life, okay, is. But in this case, I think the Dogen then used fire and water, fire jewel and water jewel, but both are fire jewel. But the in terms of structural reason of a sentence of making much of its style, we'll just say Dogen uses the repeated expression of the same word. Is that alright? All this happens in the Shobo Genzo. So sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes water jewel, you never find it in the dictionary, no. Water jewel, it doesn't make sense. Because he uses this term in terms of structural reason of a sentence. Nomura, whether the moon is the fire jewel and the water jewel, so fire jewel in this case corresponding to the sun, water jewel corresponding to the moon. So Nomura, whether the moon is the fire jewel and the water jewel, it is immediately actualized. Well, whatever. No matter whether the moon is the moon, okay, what you can see. The moon, what you have seen is immediately actualized universally, okay, beyond your doubt. Beyond your doubt, immediately it works. This is that point, okay? So, total interpenetrations. This is a total real picture of three spirits, human beings. Okay? So you have to see that total function through the individual form. Okay. So next, I think the section 3 explains almost the same thing using a different Buddhist term. Let me read, okay? Oh, excuse me, one more sentence here. That mind is the moon, this moon is itself mind. This is a penetrating and comprehending the mind of Buddha, ancestors, and Buddha, what? Ears, okay? This mind is the moon, okay? So, moon is the mind. It's not mind. It's not the usual mind, you believe. But this is kind of the cohesive whole, okay, which all sentient beings are interfused with each other. Okay. This is called temporary mind. So mind is universe, we can say. Mind is the Buddha nature, the same thing, but this is a different expression, psychological expression using. So that mind, universe, Buddha, nature is the mind. And also, the mind implies the total function of the all sentient beings interfused, interpenetrating each other simultaneously, smoothly. That's why it is. To form that, in the that is, anyway, takes a form in this pons all responds to every individual thing. Okay? That's why he says the mind is the moon. The moon is really Buddha nature. Okay? The mind, the moon is itself mind. Naturally, the moon itself is the universe. This is a penetrating and comprehending the mind of the Buddha. So that is called Buddha mind. If you see the moon like this, you can understand the Buddha mind. And also ancestors' mind. So next, section 3. The ancient Buddha said, a single mind is all things. All things are single mind. Thus, mind is all things. All things are mind. Since mind is the moon, the moon is the moon. Since mind, which is all things, is completely known, the all-inclusive world is the all-inclusive moon. Entire body is entire moon. Amid the before and after three and three, in the myriad years of moment, which of these is not the moon? Sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha, or body, mind, in balance, are all within the moon. The coming and going of birth and death is also the moon. The entire world in the 10 directions is the up and down, the left and right of the moon. Everyday activity at this moment is hundreds of glasses brilliant in the moon. The mind of ancestors brilliant in the moon. Okay. It is the same. This section mentions about the same point as section 2. Okay. Let's see this koan in the Shōgyō Roku, number 54. I think there is a koan. Some of you are very familiar with it. This koan is Yunyan's great compassion, talking about thousand hands of Avalokiteshvara. Okay, there is a discussion between Ungan Zen Master and the Dogo Zen Master, who are Dharma brothers. Yunyan asked Dao Wu, what does the Bodhisattva of great compassion do with so many hands and eyes? This is Avalokiteshvara. Have you ever seen Avalokiteshvara with lots of hands? You know, thousand hands. Dao Wu said, it's like someone reaching back for the pillow at night. Yun Yan said, I understand. Dao Wu said, how do you understand it? Yun Yan said, all over the body is hand and eyes. Hands and eyes. Dao Wu said, you said a lot there, but you got only 80%. Yun Yan said, what about you, elder brother? Dao Wu said, throughout the body is hands and eyes. They're talking about Avalokiteshvara, as a symbol of the total function of her life, the real all sentient beings, how exquisitely, how swiftly, how certainly she can work with all sentient beings. That is called Buddha's virtue, I mentioned already. Okay? This is Avalokiteshvara is Buddha's virtue inherent in every sentient beings, trees, birds, and all of you. This is the Avalokiteshvara. So, what the Avalokiteshvara has 1,000 hands because it's functioning between the two, Karagiri and you. You and I. So how the Avalokiteshvara works together, creating as a cohesive whole between the two, which they are separate. Actually, Karagiri and you cannot be one because they are completely different nature, conflict with each other. But Avalokiteshvara works pretty well between the two, working together, creating the peaceful world. This is the Avalokiteshvara's business. That's why she has 1,000 hands. We don't know how, but she does. That's why this is discussion, you know. What does the Bodhisattva of great compassion do with so many hands and eyes? It's like the Dao Wu said, it's like something reaching back for the pillow at night, kind of just moving with no controllers, no controller, no boss, no object, no subject. It's just moving. Okay? So that's why at night means truth, absolute. In the absolute world, there is nothing to compare, no subject, no object. So this is a characteristic of absolute, so-called truth is one. So, at night it indicates the truth, absolute. Okay? So at night, you just moving, you know, your hands try to reach the back, you know, for the pill. Or, Logan Ben mentions, just the young man's arm stretching the and bending and stretching. Who make it possible for your arm to stretch, to bend? No one knows. No object, no subject, no controller, but it's working. Okay? That working, that energy of the working, anyway, interferes everything into one and creating the cohesive whole. That is called Akasha, vast open sky. Just like in vast open sky is maybe imagination of between. While, okay, before, while, and after while. Between. Well, what is this between? Before while and after while. Can't you say between, explain between? Can't you imagine between? It's not partition you have here, sitting face to face. It's not partition, but it is something. So it's between. It's between. Because while coming from basic original nature of being existing before you poke it into. So we don't know from where it comes, but it already was ground words. Okay? This is called ground word, basic word, original word. comes, emerges from that place that is so-called before while. Okay, and then after a while, you really involved in the world that is a dualistic world. But what make it possible for both before while, after while to exist, to interfere together, create cohesive whole? What? This is a between. But a between means just like, what would you say? The semi painting designs on the campus, you design the persimmon, on the tree, on the monkey, that's it, okay? With the Lanka semi. And then there is a canvas there. That is called original nature of existence, we say, okay? And then you can paint many things on this canvas. This is a dualistic world, okay? So you can paint your life, what kind of life you create. So you can paint lots, in your whole life. I don't know how many paints you will make, thousands, anyone make. But life is not only the painting, part of the painting, trees, persimmon, and monkey. It is not your life. Your life must be included with canvas and also blank space. Do you understand blank? Nothing there. So canvas and also painting your life, there is a something. Okay? There is a between. Huge. That is called vast open space. Sky, we say. Sometimes it is called truth. But it's very vague. So we say vast open sky or space and many things. Sometimes it is emptiness, we say. But many words there. But it is exactly something like that. Black, blank there. Blank, white, blank. How can I say? Blank. Okay? Blank is not, blank is kind of emptiness. But it's working, okay? Supporting the canvas and also painting what you have had. Okay? So that blank is not the flat dimension of existence. That blank is three or four dimensions of existence in 10 directions. That is called blank. Okay? Can you imagine? So that is a moving. That blank is completely moving. It's not imaginative world. It's not mystery. It's working in your everyday life. It's working. Okay, that is. Dao Wu said it's like someone reaching back for the pillow at night. Look at your life. No matter what, you are critical toward your life. You are always moving, You're always moving every day from moment to moment beyond your evaluation judgment. Moving. Who make it the move? We don't know. Your will is something more than your will. Existence, yes, existence, but something more than concept of existence. Truth, energy, no. Something more than. Because it is actual. It is something actualized. It is something real. Okay? So let's read the verse, the this Quran's verse. Okay, it's very interesting. let me read. One whole emptiness, in other words, verse, they comment on this Quran. It's very interesting verse. One whole emptiness pervading. One whole. It's kind of one whole. He said one whole means whole hall. Just like a black hole in the space, you know. It's huge black hole. It says one hole. Sometimes meters hole. But it's meters hole is huge hole. One hole, it is the emptiness pervading. So, can you imagine? This is called the vast open sky. Okay? One hole, emptiness pervading, crystal clear on all sides. It is completely clear. We don't know what it is. We can imagine that vast open skies as a one hole and emptiness pervading. Okay? It is exactly clear, crystal clear on all sides. Okay, all sides. So, whatever you stand up, which direction you stand up, anyway you can see everything. Okay? Yes. And then he says, formlessly, selflessly, spring enters the pipes. Formlessly, selflessly, spring enters the pipe. Pipe means form. Okay? Springs anywhere enters. Every inch of the world, every inch of the whole universe, so called trees, birds, and the pillars, and the whole world, it enters smoothly. How? Formlessly and it's selflessly. Just like a rock climbers. How the rock climbers enters. You know, the pipe of the rock. We don't have any idea. Well, you can do it. But you can do it only when you are selfless and formless. Of five skandhas and consciousness, you can enter very smoothly into the rock, into the mountain. This is a full function of the moving, just like Avalokiteshvara's, bending your arms and stretching your arms, just like that. That is egolessness, and also formlessness. Okay? The pipe. P-I-P-E, yes. Unstopped. Unhindered, the moon traverses the sky, and the unstopped, this movement is really unstopped, and also unhindered, because this emptiness, this one hole, filled with the emptiness, not filled, emptiness pervading is functioning, entering every inch of the forms in the universe, formlessly and selflessly, unceasingly, constantly do it, or unhindered, no hindrances. No self-consciousness. So that's why Dogen Zenji mentions that when it is the whole body knows no hindrances. When it is becomes a whole body, in other words, when your Zazen becomes a whole body, in other words, you really jump into the Zazen exactly formlessly and selflessly, that term you becomes, the Zazen becomes whole bodies. whole body swallows your zazens. Zazen swallows your bodies. So that means the whole bodies. It becomes the whole bodies. So whole body becomes the whole body. Whole bodies swallows the whole bodies. At that time, it knows no hindrances. Kind of violations, a circle. Circle consists of the myriad, myriad dot points. Okay? Whole world consists of the many dots. At that time, only dots. Okay? Only dot. One dot. One dot is constantly penetrating into every circle, every rest of the being's circle as a dot. And it's functioning ceaselessly, unstopped, unhindered. How they are working each other, how they are interfused together into the a cohesive whole, we don't know. But actually, you can see the circle. Just like revolving the piece of wood and masons, immediately piece of wood creates a circle. So, functional motion, motion of the piece of wood is just to show you very clear individual dot. If you see it separately. But in terms of light, moonlight, okay, of the piece of wood, I think all dots, communing, interfused together into the whole cohesive whole. Then it's called circle. We don't know how, but only each dot should work selflessly and formlessly and unceasingly. Constantly it does. At that time, it's create circle. This is creative life, creative art of everydayness. So pure jewel, that is pure jewel eyes, arms of virtues. This is a Buddhist virtue. Okay? This is your life. Anyway, then all with the body, how does it compare to throughout the body being it? The present hands and eyes reveal the whole works. Reveals present hands and eyes. Reveals the whole works. Means the forms of the moon, the forms of the hands and the eyes are completely beyond one or two moons, one or two hands and the eyes. Completely beyond. It means constantly whole works, totally working. The great function works in all ways. What is it? What is a taboo? What is a taboo means? What is it? Finally, even though you can see that one, finally, something left. What is it? That reason, that question, what is it? Something wonderful answer there. If you have clear eyes to see this one. That's why in the term, what, how, who are you? Where do you come? Those sentence is not question, merely questions. It is a question, but answer. Reason the questions. That question is always used in the Zen stories. Okay? So that's why he says, what it is, but taboo. It's kind of taboo, mysterious, but it's not mysterious. It's very clear, very clearly, crystal clear. It's working in our life. Okay? So, through this koan, I think you can read again and again, section 3. One is all, the single mind is all things. In other words, one is all is one. Anyway, the moon is all. Your life is all, whole universe. Okay. Then that is called sun face Buddha, moon face Buddha. That doesn't mean it doesn't mean a particular sun moon face or Buddha, sun face Buddha or moon face Buddha. Okay, it is a particular expression. It is just sun, just the moon. Because the moon is not merely the form of the moon. The moon is beyond one or two moons. That's why it is a Buddhist virtue. That's why he says, he uses the moon face Buddha.